إن الحمد لله نحمده
All thanks be
ونستعينه
to Allah.
ونستغفره
We thank Him and we depend on Him and we ask His forgiveness and we ask refuge in Him from the evils of our deeds and ourselves. He whom Allah guides, no one will lead astray, and He whom He leads astray, no one will guide. We bear witness that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger. May Allah send peace and prayers upon him and his family and companions. This lesson is the final lesson within the elaboration on the book of the characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Imam Tirmidhi. We've reached chapter 54. Which talks about the legacy of the Apostle of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It says in some books it's the 55th chapter. So the translation I'm reading from says chapter 55. Legacy meaning the inheritance, the property he left. And several hadiths were mentioned in this chapter. The first one is by Amr ibn Harith, the brother of Duwayriya. He was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that Rasulullah did not leave after his dying anything but his arms or his weapons, his male servant, and some land which he gave as charity. His weapons were a spear and a dagger and things of that nature. From among conventional weapons that they used to use. And he left his donkey, and her name was Daldal. D-A-L-D-A-L. Was given to him by Al-Muqawqas, the ruler of Egypt at that time. And Rasulullah used to ride it. And Rasulullah also left a piece of land which he gave as charity. And it was the half of the land of Falak. It's a village, a small village near. And that land was half of. Of the village, and one third of the land of Wadi al-Qura, the valley of al-Qura, and one fifth of Khaybar, and also his share of the land of Bani Nadir. And his ownership of these lands came because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned a certain part of the bounties of war to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The bounties of war are غنائم in Arabic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one fifth of the bounties of war that were taken by force. So. So one-fifth of one-fifth is 1 over 25. So the verse mentions in the Quran that one-fifth of the spoils of war are to be given to quote Allah and His Messenger, but the word Allah is only mentioned for the sake of barakah. So it's technically for the Prophet ﷺ and for the poor and the needy and the travelers. And there's another hadith for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that his share of the goods on earth were made to be in the shadow of his spear, which means that his legacy is mostly from the spoils of war, of which he gave most as charity. Next hadith, number 383, says that Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, came to Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and she asked him, she asked him, who are your heirs? And he said, my wife and my children. Which is, okay, he said, my wife and my children. And so Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, asked, why did I not become an heir to my father's estate? Meaning the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I heard the command of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we do not, that we as messengers, we do not leave any heirs. But being a guardian of the wealth of those whom the Messenger of Allah has decreed a daily allowance, I will continue to grant it. And on whom the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to spend, I will continue to spend. The word for spending, to spend, I will spend, means a'ul. So Abu Bakr essentially said that I will continue to spend on whomever Rasulullah ﷺ used to spend, but he heard the Prophet ﷺ saying that we messengers do not have heirs.
رضي الله عنها هي كانت الوحيدة المتبقية من ذرية رسول الله.
So Fatima was the only the only daughter left alive after the death of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. She's the only one of his children to survive after his death. Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, and Zainab, all three of them died during his life, as well as the male children who all died as youngsters. And after he died, she was alive for only 6 months, and then she died as well. So she came to Abu Bakr asking for her inheritance. So Abu Bakr told her that he heard the Prophet saying that that we do not have heirs as prophets. This subject is one of the subjects that the Shia have used against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and saying that he kept the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from her, and he basically oppressed her from taking her right, but this is a false claim. And the scholars of Sunnah reply with several points. First, that Fatima radiallahu anha came to asking for her inheritance, not knowing why she was not given any inheritance. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anha simply told her what he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prophets don't have heirs. And everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left is to be given for charity. And so when she knew about that, and that it's the decree of the Prophet ﷺ, she accepted and submitted to the will of Rasulullah ﷺ. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he spent on her and on the wives of Rasulullah from the treasury of the state back then. Ibn Taymiyyah radiallahu anhu says that all those lands that belong to the Prophet such as the weapons and the donkey, they were all of dismal value. But the things that didn't have value were the lands. And Ibn Taymiyyah says that those lands were small in number because Falak was a small town that half of its land area is not really that much. And in Khaybar, the share in Bani Nadir, the share of Rasulullah was a small portion of it. So those lands collectively were not great in value anyway. And furthermore, Abu Bakr and then Umar and then Uthman, all of them spent and sponsored the wives of the Prophet and his relatives in amounts that were times and times more than the value of those lands that were left over by Rasulullah. So they basically got more than the value of those lands. And another point is that one of the heirs of Rasulullah is Aisha. And so by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saying that prophets have no heirs, he is actually declared that his own daughter Aisha, who was the wife of the Prophet, has no inheritance. So if it was a matter of keeping inheritance from some people or others, then he would have given he would give him some inheritance to his daughter Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, but he did not. But the Prophets of Rasulullah used to work and act according to the orders of Rasulullah ﷺ, which were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also the Shia said that how do you say that prophets don't have inheritance when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Solomon has inherited David, Dawood? And the scholars of Sunnah say that waritha here, the word waritha or inherited, means they inherited the science or the knowledge, not material. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-ulama warathat al-anbiya, which means that scholars are the heirs of prophets. The type of inheritance here is inheritance of knowledge, and it's not physical. And that's how Solomon inherited his father, Dawood. So the meaning is an inheritance of knowledge and not an inheritance of physical property. And also another answer from the scholars of Sunnah is that the inheritance of Rasulullah if we assume that his heirs did deserve inheritance, then Fatima would get half of that, and that his wives would collectively get 1/8, and then the rest of the inheritance would be.
ليس له إخوة يعني مسلمون فيكون للأعمام وأبناء
would be for the for the uncles and the cousins since he had no brothers and he did not have parents.
وطبعا بعد وفاة فاطمة رضي
and after the death of Fatima, if she did inherit or if she did deserve any inheritance, then then her inheritance would go to several people, one of whom would be Ali, who is the cousin of Rasulullah. And so one of the answers of the scholars of Sunnah is that when Ali took over Khilafah, if he were convinced that Rasulullah would have heirs, then he would have taken those lands back for him, since they should have been passed to Fatima and then from Fatima to him, because it was all in his possession anyway, it was all within the treasury anyway, so he could have taken the share of Fatima if he believed that she deserves it to be an heir. But he didn't do that because he knows that Rasulullah is not to be inherited and he has no heirs. I hope that point is clear. And so there is no way to blame Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and he and he would never abolish the right of anyone, especially the Prophet's daughter. The next hadith is from Abu al-Bakhtari. His name is Sa'id bin Fayruz al-Ta'i, who reports that both Al-Abbas and Ali, Al-Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and Ali, one of Talib, his cousin, may Allah be pleased with him. They went to Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, during his reign of Khilafah, each of them saying that his companion, that you are like this and like that. So basically, they were exchanging words, as it looks like. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to Talha, Zubayr, and Abd al-Rahman, Nauf, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who were among the great Sahaba. And he said, I make you a witness to ask you with an oath of Allah, did you hear the Messenger of Allah وسلم, say, all the possessions of a Nabi or a Prophet are sadaqah, beside that which he used to feed his family? We, the Anbiya or the Prophets, do not have leave any heirs. Okay, this hadith, it says in the book that it has a story which is being shortened here, so I hope the Sheikh goes over it again so I can elaborate further.
لكن أي شيء يعني توفي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان في حوزته وفي ملكه وقت وفاته فهذا يكون صدقة. فهنا في الحديث يعني أن العباس وعلي رضي الله عنهما
العباس and علي رضي الله عنهما they came to عمر
يعني بينهما
خصومة واختلاف and between them there was some friction
أنت كذا أنت كذا يعني
and they were exchanging words basically
يعني مشاحنة أو يعني مغاضبة وكذا كان سببها اختلافهم في أرض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
their disagreement upon the land of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in Bani Nadir in the land of Bani Nadir basically Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's share of that land they were disputing over it
كان حاضرا عند عمر رضي الله عنه يعني تقريبا معظم العشرة
right around عمر most of the most prominent Sahaba were sitting right around him and they all witnessed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we do not have heirs, and everything we leave is for charity. And the story is that Umar radiallahu anhu said to Ali and Al-Abbas, to both of them, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, and then he passed away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr implemented the fact that Rasulullah has no heirs by basically taking it and joining it to the treasury. And then I came after. Umar is talking about himself. I came after Abu Bakr, and I did exactly the same that Abu Bakr did with the property of Rasulullah. And so if the two of you want to take that land and use it just like Abu Bakr used it as part of the treasury, and basically not profit from it for your own selves, and act like you are using the land for the sake of Allah, or not for your own sakes, then that's fine. And then he asked those Sahaba whether or not they heard the Prophet say what he said, they all witnessed. The next hadith is by Aisha, who said that the Prophet said, our property is not to be inherited, and whatever we leave we spend in charity. And Abu Hurairah also said, my heirs will not inherit a dinar or a dirham, in other words money, for whatever I leave, excluding the adequate supply support of my employees, should be given in charity. So whatever Rasulullah left that was for the support of his employees or his wives should be given for Rasulullah. The next hadith is by Malik ibn Anas. He said that I attended the assembly of Umar. At that time, Abu Rahman ibn Auf and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas were also present. After a little while, Abbas and Ali came to solve the disagreement. Umar said to them, I swear an oath by the one with whose command the skies and the earth function, and I ask you, do you know of the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we, the prophets, do not make anybody for heirs? Whatever wealth we leave behind is all left as sadaqah. All those present replied, verily, this is true. This is basically the same story that we just talked about. The next and last hadith is by Aisha, from Aisha radhiyallahu anha, said that Rasulullah never left either a dinar nor a camel. The narrator of this hadith said, I am in doubt if he mentioned male or female slaves. So he remembers it either that she either said dinar or camel, or a male or a female slave, or without saying male or female slave. He's not really sure about the male or female slaves at the end of the hadith. So the conclusion of this chapter is that the relatives of Rasulullah who came asking for their share of his inheritance did not really know, all of them, that Rasulullah is not supposed to be inherited. And when they did know from Abu Bakr and from Umar and his and the other Sahaba that Rasulullah did not leave any inheritance, they accepted the decree, and Sahaba, including Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, would never take away the inheritance of the Prophet out of their own devices, but they would do whatever Rasulullah said. And there were many witnesses, including the 10 people who were the Ashar al-Mubashshirin, the 10 people who were given the good news about entering paradise, inshallah. And that the Khulafa, all four of them did not take any of that inheritance to themselves, but they used it as charity, and that they did spend and sponsor times and times more that inheritance worth of money on the wives and the family of the Prophet ﷺ. The final chapter is on seeing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. The first one is from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that Rasulullah said, "Whoever sees me in a dream, he has really seen me, as it is not possible for the shaitan to impersonate me." And so Rasulullah says that whoever has a dream and sees me in that dream, then he has seen me for what I really am. Because Satan does not impersonate me. Meaning that Satan cannot take the form or the shape of Rasulullah. And so whoever comes, that's why the scholar say that whoever comes forth and says that he has seen Rasulullah in a dream, they would ask him about what he saw him like, and if it matches what was narrated about the physical properties of Rasulullah, like the fact that he was not too long, too tall, or too short, and that he was not too obese, he was not too skinny. But he was moderate in his physical properties, and he had broad shoulders, and he had thick bones, and he had thick fingers. And his joints were large. And his stomach is flat, and his fingers were thick, and his palm was big in area, and had a thick beard, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the other things that we studied, such as the color of his skin, he had white skin with a red tint, but not very, very white and not very, very dark. Etc. So if someone comes forth saying that he has seen Rasulullah like that,
then يعني سواء رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في يعني في حال طفولته أو شبابه أو يعني
And
في أي
sees
عمر
صلى الله عليه
من
وسلم
الأعمار
in
يمكن
any
يعني أن يرى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن المهم أن تكون صفته مطابقة
life, صلى الله عليه وسلم, such as seeing him as a child or seeing him as a young man or as an older adult, then he should see him in those same properties.
إن شاء الله تعالى الشيطان لا يستطيع أن
And whoever sees him in this physical form, then he has actually seen him, not the shaytan. But shaytan can come in other forms and claim to the dreamer that he is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, such as coming in the form of a man who is extremely tall or extremely short or extreme in any way for that matter, extremely thin or extremely obese and, or has really thin fingers or really, really thick fingers or someone with no beard, for example.
مثلا إما حبيب اللحية أو شخص يشرب الدخان أو
or
نحو ذلك
someone smoking or someone committing a sin or something
مثلا يصبر الثوب
or someone with a long
أشياء تخالف كان على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يزعم للرائي أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليفتنه لهذا
and shaitan can use those forms to mislead the dreamer and mislead the other people whom the dreamer talks to about it. Or he would actually say to the dreamer something that would be insinuating sin.
مخالفة لصفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وزعم
so
الشيطان أنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا يكون من الكذب ومن تلاعب الشيطان
to compare the physical properties of the person in the dream to the physical properties of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and if it matches then it is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم but if it doesn't then it's not him and it's the shaytan posing as Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم
لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So what this hadith means is that
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
whoever sees Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم
قص عليه شخص أنه رأى في المنام
in his true physical form then he has seen him صلى الله عليه وسلم but whoever sees him in a different form than what he is صلى الله عليه وسلم then it's not him.
الحديث الذي بعده عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says whoever sees me then he has really seen me as the devil cannot assume my image or imitate my person. Another narration is by Ibn Malik al-Ashja'i from his father who reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم whoever sees me in the dream has really seen me. The next hadith is by
عاصم بن كليب قال حدثني أبي أنه سمع
by كليب بن شهاب الكوفي said that أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه
يقول قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم said that whomsoever sees me in a dream
في المنام فقد رأى
has really seen me because the devil cannot impersonate me. Kulayb says, I mentioned this hadith to Ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him.
Kulayb سمع الحديث من أبي هريرة فذهب فقصه على ابن عباس. قال فقلت قد رأيته.
And I also told him that I was blessed with seeing the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. At the moment I thought of Al-Hasan ibn Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and I said to Ibn Abbas that I found the image in my dream very similar of Al-Hasan. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, verified my statement that truly Hasan, may Allah be pleased with him, was very similar to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in appearance.
فذهب إلى ابن عباس
so he went so basically Kulayb went to Ibn Abbas and asking him does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam look very much like al-Hasan because I've seen him in my dream and I think that and he looks very much like Hasan and Ali so Ibn Abbas confirmed that and said yes that he does look like Hasan
رضي الله عنه كان يشبه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فما دمت قد رأيت شخصا في صورة الحسن بن علي وعلى أنه هو نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو حقا نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه النبي
So if you see someone who looks like الحسن بن علي saying that he's the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then he is probably the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم because he does look like الحسن بن علي The next thing is by Yazid al-Farisi And he used to be a calligrapher of the Quran. Once he saw the Prophet in his dream during the time of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. And he related his dream to Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas said, the Messenger of Allah used to say that the devil cannot imitate him. That person who has seen him in a dream has really seen him. After mentioning this, he asked, Can you describe this person to whom you have seen in your dream? He said, Yes, I can. I will describe to you a man whose body and height were of medium stature. He had a wheat-colored complexion with a bit of whiteness in it. His eyes were those... His eyes...
فهنا ابن عباس سأل هذا الرأي
were like those who had, which had كحل or antimony on them
فهل تستطيع أن تنعت لي هذا الذي رأيته فقال نعم أنعت لك رجلا بين الرجلين جسمه ولحمه أسمر إلى البياض أكحل العينين حسن
a smiling beautiful and round face
جميل دوائر الوجه ملأت لحيته ما بين هذه إلى هذه
which surrounded his face and spread on the four portions of his chest.
قال عوف ولا أدري ما كان مع هذا النعت
And Auf, the narrator of this hadith says, I do not remember what other features beside these were mentioned. And then Ibn Abbas said, If you have seen him while awake, you would not have been able to describe him any further, meaning that you have seen him so accurately in your dream. It was so vivid and so real. Back to the description, it was wheat-colored complexion. It wasn't really white, but closer to redness, probably.
وبالمناسبة يعني هو
أيضا by the way
لون البني
في
لغة
العرب the color bunni
كانوا يسمونه الأحمر يعني العرب ما كان عندهم لون
in the language of Arabs
يعني
they used to call it all red they didn't have the color brown so like horses that were brown they used to be called red or ahmar so the word ahmar in Arabic language included red and brown so when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described as having humra in his skin it doesn't mean redness it means brownness which is a good point for me because I didn't know that I was translating red all the time it's really brownish
واحدا يعني لا هو على فكرة موضوع الألوان يعني أنا قرأت في هذا يعني بعض المعبرين يذكرون يعني
The brother is saying that people
معظم الأحلام تكون يعني
don't dream in color and the sheikh is replying that
يعني أحيانا ترى بعض الألوان في الأحلام من ذلك قال إذا رؤية لون
The sheikh is saying that he read somewhere that scientists have said that
هذا اللون يكون رمزا لشيء
that colors
يعني
are seen in dreams
لونا يعني أحمر أو أخضر أو أصفر
and sometimes dreams have
فهنا اللون
certain
يكون رمزا
colors
لشيء.
as part of the dream but not the entire
لما كان
dream
يكون رمزا
and when there is color it's usually an indicated an indication of something in the dream
فيكون رمزا لشيء فيفسر يعني هذا يذكر للمعبد حتى يفسره له يعني ويذكر له دلالة هذا اللون
The next hadith, I think.
الحديث الذي بعده هو يعني ذكر في الحقيقة عدة أسانيد لنفس الحديث.
So there are many narrations for the same hadith.
حديث أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه قال.
Like this hadith from Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, who narrated the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever sees me in a dream, then he indeed has seen me in truth.
يعني فقد رأى حقا يعني فرؤيته رؤيا حق يعني هذا المعنى فقد رأى الحق يعني فقد رأى رؤية حقة ليست بباطلة الحديث
Next hadith
الذي بعده عن أنس
is by Anas
رضي الله عنه وأرضاه
who said that whoever has seen me in a dream then no doubt he has seen me for the devil cannot imitate my shape and the dreams of a believer are one of 46 parts of prophethood
وقال ورؤيا المؤمن جزء من 46 جزءا من النبوة
So I'm going to repeat this last part. The dreams of a believer are one of 46 parts of prophethood.
يعني الرؤيا جزء من النبوة بمعنى
This means that
أن النبوة تكون
the,
وحيا من
a true dream is part of prophethood because prophets receive divine revelation. And a true dream is part of divine revelation. Of course, we all know that wahi is gone, has been stopped after Rasulullah's death. But what's left is the ways that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala conveys good news to the faithful, and one of these ways is dreams. And those dreams can be true. And they can be a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some scholars have said that the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the true dreams are part of one part of 46 parts of the prophet of prophethood is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet, a messenger for 23 years.
فكان لا يرى رؤيا قبل أن ينزل عليه الوحي كان ستة أشهر
and كان صلى الله عليه وسلم used to
ستة أشهر قبل أن يأتيه الوحي
he spent 6 months before Jibreel came to him the first time and every time he would have a dream it would come true so that happened for 6 months before he before Jibreel came to him and so the proportion of 6 months to 23 years is 1 to 46. And that's why Rasulullah said that it's a part of 46 parts of prophethood. Because that period of 6 months he spent with true dreams was one part of 46 parts of his time as a prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this is the this is the end of the book here and Abdullah ibn Mubarak who was a great muhaddith he said if anyone becomes a judge or arbitrator then always follow that which has been narrated this means that if you become a judge or an arbitrator
فعليك بالأثر وكلمة الأثر هنا
to always follow that which has been narrated by the Prophet from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and then from the companions. And if you're puzzled by a case, go back and read what has been narrated by the companions through to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عليك بهذه الآثار واقضي بما يعني قضى به وبما كان يعمل.
And always make sure to judge but by what they judged by.
ثم بعد ذلك قال حدثنا محمد بن
عبد الله قال حدثنا نصر بن سميل
قال أنبأنا ابن عوف عن
ابن سيرين
محمد بن سيرين التابعي الجليل رحمه
الله
قال هذا الحديث
دين
فانظروا عن
are included in the deen. Therefore, before acquiring knowledge, beware from whom knowledge is acquired. Which means hadith in general, all hadith is religion, is part of religion. So before you acquire that type of knowledge or the hadith, beware from whom knowledge is being acquired. So do not acquire knowledge from a person whom you don't trust. You don't trust their moral values or you don't trust their conduct in life generally. And of course whatever applies to the narrators of hadith applies to anyone who tries to teach you knowledge. Always watch who you're being taught by. And with this the Imam Tirmidhi concluded this book and he said this book has been concluded with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his blessing. And by that we conclude this lesson and we ask Allah's forgiveness and may all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have this week and next week inshaAllah before Hajj comes.
So
we don't have enough time to start with a new book, so we'll continue tomorrow and the day after and then with Kitab al-Riqaq from Sahih Bukhari and the Fiqh. So tomorrow and the day after, Monday and Tuesday, we'll take two lessons in Bukhari and the fiqh will be on Wednesday inshallah. And next week we'll have some other arrangement and then after Hajj inshallah we will choose a different book inshallah.
إذا الشخص يعني في حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالإمكان أن يتأكد تماما أنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن الآن يعني من الصعب أن يجزم بأنه هو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي الحقيقة ليس صعبا إذا الإنسان
really it's not that difficult if you learn the physical description of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم because the hadiths have gone into very fine detail about this. Because Sahaba, they all spent a lot of time describing every small detail about him, like his fingers and his eyes and his nose, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his mouth and hair, and every small detail, so. And was all narrated. So, inshallah, it won't be difficult for someone who sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream to find out. And one of the properties of a true dream is it's so vividly remembered. And that makes it even easier for you to compare what you saw with what's been narrated.
حتى يعني طريقة كلام
even,
صفة كلام النبي
صلى الله عليه وسلم
يعني كان جهوريا
he was he had a loud louder voice صلى الله عليه وسلم and he had a very intelligible style of speech صلى الله عليه وسلم all his letters came out very soundly and he used words in very precise positions and his speech was very little but very meaningful as well so Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had a style of speech and also the style of his wear and dress and everything so it, all of this makes it even easier to identify him the brother is asking if someone The brother is asking if someone saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم but the characteristics or the description of the person he saw does not match Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. What do we take what that person of the dream says or not? And the Shaykh is replying that if someone is not matching the description, then the whole dream is false. And whatever that person in the dream says or asks or orders has to be shown to scholars and whatever matches what came in the sunnah then it's fine and whatever it doesn't whatever does not match or whatever is asking or ordering something that is forbidden should be discarded
هذه رؤيا حق وهي مؤكدة لما كان يأمر به في حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا كانت رؤيا باطلة فهو لا يعمل بالرؤيا ولكن هذه الأشياء هو يعمل بها لأنها من شرع الله لكن القصد أنه إذا رأى أشياء تعارض شريعة الله تعالى فقطعا هذه رؤيا باطلة هذه رؤيا باطلة وهذا من تلاعب الشيطان به وهذا يؤكد أنه ليس هو الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه لا يمكن أن يأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المنام بعكس ما كان يأمر به في اليقظة في حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم فتكون هذه علامة على أنه ليس هو النبي صلى الله
عليه وسلم A brother is asking if someone sees Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is it possible that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم can show up in his true description and ask for things that were not narrated and the Shaykh is replying that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, if he shows up in a dream, he does not come up with something that is different from what he's already narrated or what he's already said or done. But whenever he shows up, he will say things that were in confirmation. Of what was narrated. So there really will not be any contradiction. Another brother is asking.
علي رضي الله عنه في بيعة أبي بكر الصديق.
شيخ تعيد السؤال اسمح.
يسأل يقول هل مشكلة الميراث يعني كانت هي السبب
Is the problem of inheritance the reason why Ali was late to the bay'ah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Bay'ah means the agreement or the oath of allegiance. The answer is that Ali came to
قد بايع قبل ذلك يعني وإنما تأخر أياما
He was late a few days for that oath of allegiance to Abu Bakr radiallahu
anhu,
because he was probably not so happy that the Sahaba were too hasty to make Abu Bakr the Khalifa, not because he was disagreeing with that, with Abu Bakr, with the choice of Abu Bakr, because he had no objection to Abu Bakr, but he wanted them to spend a little more time asking around and contemplating before they take that decision. And the reason why that happened so fast is that the Ansar gathered in Saqifat bin Sa'idah to consult on who should be the Khalifa. And so Abu Bakr and a few other people went to that place, and the Ansar wanted to have one of them to be Khilafa, to be the Khalifa. And there was a discussion back and forth, and in the end they insisted that he be the Khalifa, although he was not wanting to be the Khalifa. He did not want to be the Khalifa, but they insisted on having him for several reasons. So Ali did not was not actually like was not angry at them, and that was not the reason why he was late, but simply because everything really happened so fast, and he did not have the time probably to come in and be with them at that time. But it's believed that he may have been a little dismayed that they took the decision so hastily and they did not spend enough time contemplating it. And then after that, Fatima gave her bayah.
نكتفي بهذا القدر. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
This is the end of the lesson. الحمد لله.